The title of my sermon this morning is Five Lies That Lead to Hell. Five Lies That Lead to Hell. It's not a very pastel sermon for this Easter, but I thought it was something that needed to be discussed. We're going to get right to the heart of the matter and talk about the gospel this morning. In the beginning, the Bible said that God created a couple, Adam and Eve, and he placed them in the Garden of Eden, this beautiful paradise in which all of their needs were met. There were no rules other than one. They had all of their needs met, all the food they could want. You could eat from any tree that you wanted, except for that one tree. You could pretty much do anything you want. You don't have to worry about sin. You don't have to worry about death. You don't have to worry about sickness. And God said that one rule is just don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you will die. Well, the devil comes along in the form of a serpent, a snake. And he tempts Eve to disobey God, and he does it by lying to her. He says, you know, if you eat that fruit, you're not going to die. It's going to make your life better. You're going to be better for it if you disobey God. And so Eve, she believed the devil's lie. She ate that forbidden fruit, and she plunged the entire world, the entire human race from then on out into sin and suffering and sorrow. We are born into sin now and struggle with sin because of that fateful decision that day. And so lies are dangerous. Lies are very dangerous. Lies are the devil's flaming arrows with which he attacks us. The Bible calls Satan a liar and the father of lies. If the devil can convince you to believe a lie, then he can convince you to disobey God, which will then wreck your life in many different ways. Today, we're going to look at five of the most destructive, most dangerous lies. Because some lies are so dangerous that they don't just ruin your life on earth, they can ruin your eternity. They can ruin your eternal destiny. We're going to look at five lies that can lead to hell this morning. And these lies might surprise you because they're so popular. In fact, that's what makes them so dangerous. Most people that you know probably believe one or more of these lies. In fact, this morning you might find that you believe these lies. That this is just what everybody believes, and you thought this was the truth, and so you believe these things. And if that's you, it's my hope that you will discover that you've been believing a lie, an unbiblical truth that's very, very dangerous. And this morning, you can, by God's grace, change your mind. That's what repent means, to change your mind about the truth, and then you can turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. So let's jump into it. The five lies that lead to hell. If you're taking notes, number one is that this life is all there is. This life is all there is. You've heard the acronym YOLO, you only live once. When we live and then we die and then we cease to exist. We live 70 or 80 years and then we become worm food. There's no God, there's no afterlife, there's no heaven or hell. Therefore, don't worry about the afterlife. Don't worry about heaven or hell. Don't prepare for the afterlife. Don't worry about religion. It's just a waste of time. This life is all there is. Just think about your life on earth. Just think about the here and now. A lot of people believe that. A lot of people want that to be the case. But the Bible says that there is an afterlife. Hebrews 9:27. It says, and just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment. Notice that after people die, there is an after. And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment. Life on earth is not all that there is. There's something that happens afterward, and it's very, very important. It's called the judgment. You will be judged, I will be judged, every person who has ever lived will be judged by Jesus Christ. And there's only two possible destinations, heaven or hell. Matthew 25:46, Jesus said this, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now notice, three facts about the afterlife. The first is that there's only two possible destinations. Jesus mentions them, either eternal life or eternal punishment. Number two, your destination will be eternal. It's eternal. In other words, it's final. There are no second chances. There's no hope of annihilation, that at some point you'll just burn up and cease to exist. Your destination is for eternity, either heaven or hell. There's no hope of a transfer. And then number three, eternal life is reserved for the righteous. Notice that Jesus said that. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, the word righteous here doesn't mean sinless perfection, because there's only one person who's ever lived a perfect life, and that's Jesus Christ. The rest of us have all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard of perfection. So when Jesus said the righteous will go into eternal life, he's talking about those who have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, the most important thing you can do in your life, your priority needs to be, how can I make sure that I have a right relationship with God? How can I have a right relationship with God? Romans 3:22 tells us, it says, the righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. The only way to have a right relationship with God is by putting your faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are sinners, deserving of hell. And if you don't agree that you're a sinner, then you're the most deluded and self-deceived person on earth. Everybody knows that they're a sinner, that you've fallen short of God's glorious standard of perfection. And the Bible says that the punishment for sin is death, eternal separation from God in hell. But God loves us even though we've sinned against Jesus. God continues to love us, never gives up on us. And God said, I don't want them to get what they deserve. I want them to be saved and to spend eternity with me in heaven. So God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place for your sins. He took your punishment so that you can be forgiven and reconciled to God. And the Bible says to receive that gift of God's forgiveness, you have to repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus. And that's how you have a right relationship with God. So that's lie number one. This life is all that there is. Number two, the second lie is that good people go to heaven. Good people go to heaven. Most people believe that you get to go to heaven as long as you're a good person. In fact, it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're a good person. There are three problems with this view. The first is that it lacks clarity. It lacks clarity. Because if you say, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're a good person, as long as you're good enough. Well, answer me this. How good is good enough? How good is good enough? See, that view lacks clarity. We don't know the standard. Also, it lacks certainty. This is the second problem with that view. It lacks certainty. If you're trying to get to heaven by being good enough, can you ever know that you've been good enough? Can you ever lie down at night with the assurance, you know what? I've done enough. I've reached that point where I'm good enough. And so I know if I die tonight, I can go to heaven. See, it lacks certainty. It lacks assurance. The third problem with this view is that it lacks reality. If you believe that good people go to heaven, and so you're striving to be good enough to go to heaven, you're in a bad spot, because the Bible says there is no such thing as a good person. In reality, you're not a good person, and neither am I. The Bible gives us several biblical truths that counter this lie that good people go to heaven. First of all, the Bible clearly says that you cannot be made right with God by being good. You cannot be made right with God by trying to be good. Romans 3:20. It says, for no one will be justified, that is, made right with God. No one will be justified in his sight by the works of the law. No one can achieve a right relationship with God by trying to keep the rules. It will not happen for anybody. Why not? Well, that leads us to the second biblical truth. The reason is that no one is good. If you're trying to be made right with God by being a good person, you're going to fail because no one is good. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 3:10 puts it even more specifically, more bluntly. It says, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. All alike have become worthless. There is no one who does what is good, not even one." So the Bible says, not only are you not good enough to work your way to heaven, it says you're not good. Not only are you not good enough, you're not good. Apart from Jesus Christ, apart from God's grace, we are sinners. A third biblical truth that counters this lie that good people go to heaven is that you must be perfect to earn your way to heaven. If you are on the performance plan and you're trying to get to heaven by keeping the rules and being a good person, the Bible says there's only one way you can do that, and that's if you're perfect. It says in Galatians 3:10, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed." So if you're trying to get to heaven by relying upon following the law, God's rules, you're under a curse. Why? Because cursed is everyone who doesn't do everything written in the book. Well, you know you haven't done everything written in the book. You know you've fallen short. And so if you're relying upon your good works and your good deeds and your performance to get to heaven, you're under a curse. So the truth is that good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. And so your main quest in life needs to be to figure out, how do I receive God's forgiveness? You need to come to the realization that you're a sinner, that you deserve hell. If you don't reach that point, then you're not going to reach out for a Savior because you don't see your need for a Savior. You need to get to the end of yourself and say, I'm a sinner in need of hell. How do I find and receive God's forgiveness? Because good people don't go to heaven, forgiven people do. God offers forgiveness through the sacrifice of His Son. God is just. He had to punish our sin, but He didn't have to punish us because He punished Jesus for us. That's why Jesus died on the cross. And He rose again, and now if we put our faith in Jesus, we can be saved. Acts 10:43 says, "All the prophets testify about Him, that through His name, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins." How do I receive forgiveness? By putting my faith in Jesus Christ, who died in my place for my sins. So the question is not, are you a good person? The question is, are you forgiven? Have you received God's forgiveness? Number three, a third lie that leads to hell. There are many paths to heaven. There are many paths to heaven. There are many roads to heaven, many paths. Now, everybody who believes this lie also believes lie number two, because the idea is, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're a good person. We've already proven that to be a lie, a biblical lie. This is called religious pluralism. It's the idea that there are many religious paths. They're all equally valid, whether you're a Jew, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, or a Christian. All of these religions have their own truth. As long as you sincerely believe one of them and try your best to follow one of them, you'll make the cut. But the Bible is very clear that there's only one way to heaven. John 14:6, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Acts 4:12, this is the Apostle Peter speaking. He says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved." The only way to go to heaven, the only way to find forgiveness and to be right with God, is through faith in Jesus Christ, because He's the one who paid for your sins, died, rose again. You see, if there's more than one way, then why in the world did Jesus die? If you can go to heaven by just following any religious path, then why did God come to earth in human flesh and die the most horrible death you could possibly imagine. It's pointless. If people don't have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven, then why does Jesus command us to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, to sacrifice our time, energy, money, even our own lives, to get the gospel out to as many people as possible? If they don't need to believe in Jesus, why go to all that effort? If there's more than one way, then why does the Bible so clearly say you have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven? It says in John 3:16, the most popular verse in the Bible, "For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Number four, a fourth lie that leads to hell is God wouldn't let anyone go to hell. God wouldn't let anyone go to hell. You know, because God is love, it says in the Bible, 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4:16. One of the most beautiful truths in the Bible about God is that he is love. And so people use that truth and they logically say, well, if he's love, if he truly loved us, if he truly loves everybody, even sinners, then he wouldn't send anybody to an eternal hell. So people have come up with alternative views. There's universalism, which is the view that, well, in the end, love wins. Love wins. A very popular Christian pastor even wrote a book with that very title, Love Wins. That in the end, God's love is so powerful that everybody ends up going to heaven. Another view is annihilationism. Annihilationism. This is also called conditional immortality. The idea is that God didn't create all of us to live forever. We're created because of sin. We're created to die. But those who believe in Jesus Christ will get to live forever. Those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, well, when you die, you just cease to exist. Or another version of conditional immortality is that if you die without Christ, apart from Christ, you'll go to hell, a place of hell, but it's temporary, and eventually you'll just burn up and cease to exist. Universalism, annihilationism, both of them false. The biblical doctrine of hell is terrifying. It's that hell is the place of eternal torment, eternal conscious torment for those who reject Jesus Christ. There are several problems with the idea that God wouldn't let people go to hell. The first is that God is not only loving, the Bible teaches that God is also just. You see, we don't want to just focus on one of God's attributes to the exclusion, to the neglect of others. God is very loving. He is the very definition of love, but he is also holy and righteous and just. Can you imagine how you would feel if a local judge in Acadiana just let a pedophile go free? Or if he just let a rapist go free? Yeah, I forgive you. Would you say, wow, that judge is just so loving? Or would you say, now that's an injustice? Because that judge needs to be loving, but also he needs to be just. And a pedophile needs to be punished, and a rapist needs to be locked up, or worse. The same way, if God were just to allow sinners to go unpunished, allow sin against an almighty, infinite God to go unpunished, unchecked, it would not be loving, it would be unjust. As well, the Bible says that there are actually more people in hell than in heaven. For those who say that God wouldn't send anybody to hell, the Bible says there's more people in hell than in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 through 14, he says, "Enter through the narrow gate." What's the narrow gate? It's Jesus. Enter through Christ, where Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. It's easy to go to hell. That's where most people go. Verse 14, "How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it." The Bible also says that God didn't create hell for people. Does God send people to hell? Yes, but God didn't create hell for people. Originally, God created hell, the Bible says in Matthew 25:41, for the devil and demons. That's why God created hell. He didn't create hell for people. But people go to hell whenever they reject Jesus Christ. They reject God's offer of salvation. The Bible says that Jesus spoke more of hell than heaven. He spoke more of hell than heaven. What did Jesus teach about hell? His teachings can be summarized in 3 points. Number one, Jesus said that hell is a place of misery. It's a place of misery, of real pain, terrible pain. Jesus described it as a place of weeping or continual sobbing, a place of wailing or crying out, weeping gone grotesque, and a place of gnashing of teeth out of severe pain. It also describes it as a place of darkness, loneliness. So it's a place of misery. Number two, it's also a place of finality. It's a place of finality. Once you go to hell, your station is fixed. There are no second chances. And then third, it's also a place of eternality. The Bible says over and over and over again that hell is forever. Jesus called it the fire that never goes out, the place of eternal fire, an unquenchable fire, eternal punishment. As well, the Bible says that while people do go to hell, that God doesn't want them to go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. 1 Timothy 2:16 says, "This is good and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." So people don't go to hell because God wants them to. God takes no pleasure in the death of anyone, in the suffering of anyone. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." God doesn't want anyone to perish. C.S. Lewis said, "There are two kinds of people, those who say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God says, 'All right then, have it your way.'" God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. People go to hell because they reject God. They reject God's offer of forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And God says, "All right, I'll have it your way then." The Bible says that eternal life is a free gift. Does God send people to hell? Yes. But God has made it so easy for us to go to heaven. Amen? Because we can't work for it, so he doesn't make us work for it. God says instead, "I've sent my son. He's done everything necessary for your life, for your eternal life, for your salvation. All you need to do is accept him. All you need to do is receive him." So if people go to hell, it's their own fault. It's because they're just rejecting such a free and easy gift that's available to everyone, no matter what you've done. I love, again, John 3:16, which we've already looked at. But notice a key word in this verse: "For God loved the world in this way, he sent his only one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." The gift of salvation is for everyone, and all you have to do is believe. Just believe. However, that leads us to the last lie. The last lie that leads to hell is all you need to do to go to heaven is believe in Jesus. You say, "Well, Andy, you just said that." That's what makes this lie so pernicious and so destructive. Look at John 3:16 again. "For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." So yes, in a sense, it's true. All you need to go to heaven is believe in Jesus, if you understand the biblical idea of that word. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? The biblical word for believe means trust or faith. It carries the idea of relying on, resting on, depending on, leaning on Jesus. So to believe in Jesus is not simply to believe things about Jesus. It's about trusting in him, relying on him, depending on him, leaning on him. Think about the logic of this. You can believe all the facts about Hitler. You can believe that he was the leader of Germany in the mid-20th century and plunged the world into war and carried out the Holocaust against the Jews. You can believe all the right facts about Hitler. Does that make you a Nazi? Of course not. You can believe all the correct facts about Jesus, but that doesn't make you a Christian. You can believe that Raising Cane's exists, but that doesn't make you a chicken finger. You can believe all the right things about Jesus. That doesn't make you a Christian. That doesn't save your soul. To believe in Jesus involves two elements. The first is that you must trust in Jesus as your Savior. Trust in Jesus as your Savior. Or to put it negatively, you must stop trusting everything else for salvation. Stop trusting in anything else and put your trust in Jesus. You must believe that Jesus is the Savior, the only Savior. You must not trust in good works or religion or rituals or sacraments or any other God. Trust in Jesus and what he's done for you for your salvation. A helpful way to test your faith and whether or not you truly believe in Jesus is to ask this most important question. Why should God let you into heaven? Why should God let you into heaven? Now, if your answer to that question immediately turns to what you've done for God, well, I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I try to go to church whenever I can. I try to keep the Ten Commandments. I try to help the poor when I can. What are you trusting in? See, you may believe in Jesus, but what are you trusting in? You're trusting in yourself and your ability to perform your way to heaven, to earn your good works. Why should God let you into heaven? Because Jesus died for the cross, on the cross for my sins. He paid for my sins. He did everything necessary for my salvation. In other words, the difference between Christianity and religion, any other religion, is do versus done. Religion is all about what I need to do to earn my way to heaven. I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to read my Bible, I need to follow the rules, I need to be involved in church, I need to pay my tithes, I need to take communion, I need to get baptized, I need to bring my kids to church. All the things I need to do, that's religion. Christianity says, no, it's all about done. Putting your faith not in what you can do, but in what Christ has done on your behalf. There's nothing I can do to add to my salvation, to help my salvation, to contribute to my salvation. I'm a sinner deserving of hell, but Jesus has done everything necessary for my salvation. He paid for my sins in full, rose again, and I trust in him. So the first element of saving faith, of what it means to believe in Jesus, is to trust in Jesus as your Savior. Stop trusting in anything else. The second element in saving faith is to trust in Jesus as Lord. Trust in Jesus. Believe in Jesus as your Lord. That is, as your King. To put it negatively, you must not trust in yourself as Lord. You need to hand over the steering wheel of your life to Jesus Christ. It's the decision to make Jesus the ruler, the King of your life. This includes the commitment to carry out all of his will and to relinquish anything that is against his will. Charles Spurgeon, the great 19th century preacher, said, "You and your sins must separate, or you and your God will never come together." You can call this repentance. And really, faith and repentance are two sides of the same coin. When the Bible says to be saved, you have to believe in Jesus, it's a matter of penitent faith. Two sides of the same coin. Many people in Acadiana, especially, they believe in Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. They live in open rebellion to the commands of Christ. Do they believe that Jesus is a real person? Yes. Do they believe Jesus died on the cross for their sins? Yes. Do they believe Jesus rose again? Yes. Yet they live in outright open rebellion to Jesus Christ. Living together with somebody out of marriage, having premarital sex, abortion, pornography, stealing, theft. We could go on down the list. Live in an open rebellion to God, but they believe in Jesus. That's not true biblical faith. There are many people who believe in Jesus as Lord, but not as Savior. They're very, very conscientious about the rules of Christianity. They live a very upright and moral life. Why? It's because they think they have to earn their way to heaven. They're not trusting in Jesus for salvation. They're trusting in their own ability to keep the rules. True faith is trusting in Jesus and nothing else. But at the same time, it's trusting in Jesus as Lord and not yourself as Lord. Handing over the steering wheel of your life to Jesus Christ. The most infamous lie in history is known as the blood libel. The blood libel. This was the medieval lie that was leveled at Jews in some European countries that accused the Jews of killing Christian children to use their blood to make the Passover matzo. As a result, the Jews, thousands of them, were tortured to death, and Jewish communities were slaughtered as a result. Lies can be dangerous. And if you believe a lie about the Bible and about God and about the gospel, it can ruin your eternity. It can lead to hell. This morning, I hope that you've discovered the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've discovered maybe the truth of what it means to be a Christian and to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you realize this morning that, you know what? I didn't quite have the facts right. I didn't quite understand what it means to be a Christian, to put my faith in Jesus Christ, to follow Jesus. I've been believing a lie. You know, that's a wonderful thing to discover before it's too late. And so if you discover that you've been believing a lie, that's nothing to be ashamed of. That's something our whole church will rejoice with you about. We'll say, thank God you learned the truth before it's too late. And this morning, this Easter Sunday, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ, the right way, the real way, to be saved, to be made right with God, to be forgiven of your sins. Remember what you have to do? You have to put your faith in Jesus and not in anything else, that He died on the cross for your salvation. And you have to make the decision, I'm going to hand over from this day forward, best I can, I'm handing over the steering wheel of my life to Jesus Christ. Jesus, you take the wheel, you be in charge. If you say it's wrong, it's wrong. You say stop doing it, I'm going to stop doing it. You say start doing it, I'm going to start doing it. You're in charge. Make a decision to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ today. And you'll receive eternal life this very moment. And once you get saved, God changes you and He never leaves you. Never leaves you. So why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that needs you, that is not saved, it's not born again, Lord, by your Spirit, by your grace and mercy, we pray, Lord, that you would open their eyes and their heart and, Lord, lead them to reach out to you for salvation. Be merciful to those in this room, Lord, that have continued to reject you and to resist you year after year after year. We pray, Lord, that you would give them another chance this morning to reach out and be saved. Help them to understand the gospel and truly save them, Lord.